It's Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Marshall Terry. Correctional officers are expected to maintain order, but many play key roles in disorder at state prisons.
We see problems with serious corruption and abuse in virtually all of the maximum security prisons across the state.
That's reporter Ames Alexander of the Charlotte Observer. He was part of an investigative team behind a series called Wrong Side of the Bars. The five-part investigation exposes a system that enables corrupt prison guards to have a strong and dangerous influence at state prisons. I spoke to Alexander and colleague Gavin Off about the series.
One of the headlines of one of the stories in the series is how your tax dollars fund sex, drugs, and abuse in NC prisons. And I'm curious, what exactly did you mean by that? And I guess I'll start with you, Gavin.
Well, these officers are paid by North Carolina tax dollars. And what our investigation found was a large part of the contraband flowing into prisons, the drugs, the cell phones, and in some cases the weapons, are brought in by guards. Likewise, we found a lot of times where staff members are having sex with inmates. But this is abuse that we're essentially funding through our tax dollars.
What is the incentive for a prison guard to become corrupt? Now, you lay out some of the reasons why. They don't make very much money.
Yeah, money is a big thing. I mean, on average, officers at maximum security prisons are earning $35,000 a year. They can easily double or triple their salaries by bringing in contraband. In some cases, it's cash. In some cases, the money is being transferred via green dot cards and Western Union and that kind of thing.
Talk about, I guess, the screening process a little bit. You've got people who are being hired as prison guards in North Carolina that have criminal records. Some of them have drug offenses, multiple drug offenses. Is there a screening process for applicants?
There is, yes. Job applicants who have felony convictions probably aren't going to get a job. But if you've got misdemeanor convictions that were more than 3 years ago, you can get a job. If you've got gang affiliations, odds are you can get a job. We wrote about one guy who had a job in Vermont and got in a fight with a man, pressed a gun against his head so hard that the man's ear bled. He pled no contest to assault in Vermont. 4 months later, got a job in North Carolina.
How is it that people with checkered past or criminal backgrounds, drug convictions, multiple convictions, how is it that they're getting these jobs anyway? And also, are these the people that end up getting involved with corruption once they're on the inside?
Well, the state, it does not hire folks convicted of felonies and within a certain time period, folks convicted of misdemeanor crimes. But it will hire people charged with either. So a lot of the folks that we backgrounded, so to speak, after they caused problems in the prison did have charges levied against them prior to their employment, but not necessarily convictions.
And the people that you did talk to about getting involved with corruption in the prisons, did they all have that background, some sort of criminal element in their background?
Not all of them, but a lot of them had numerous misdemeanor charges, misdemeanor convictions that were more than 3 years ago, and a lot of them had other question marks in their histories that, for whatever reason, the state did not pick up on. One officer who has recently been charged with a male officer who's been charged with having sex with female inmates at a woman's prison in Raleigh, he previously was let go from a jail job in Virginia, and there were questions about his behavior there. He had been accused of sexually harassing a fellow employee at the jail in Virginia, and according to an SBI agent, he was even accused of having sex with an inmate. But this county said that North Carolina officials never contacted them to ask about this guy. There have been more than 400 officers and employees who've been fired since 2012 for various offenses inside the prisons. more than 65 who've been criminally charged for offenses inside the prisons. And there have been a lot more people who have not been criminally charged, but who just quietly resigned.
We spent about 2 years fighting the state for data on contraband. Our initial request was made in 2015. We got several spreadsheets of their contraband data in early 2017, and it was seriously flawed.
What do you mean?
For instance, Alexander Correctional Facility up in Taylorsville, a large maximum security facility. And I'm going to guess that the year, I think it was 2011, the state reported three weapons found in their contraband data. And these weapons are usually homemade knives. Meanwhile, previously, I had gone to the Alexander County Sheriff's Office and looked at their reports. And their report showed more than 60 weapons found. So when I called the state, I said, why is there a discrepancy here? What they said is, right now, we do not have the ability to track contraband data statewide. We're working on that.
Were you surprised by what you found doing this series? And I'll start with you, Ames.
Oh, I was flabbergasted that there was so much corruption and contraband and sex and collusion in these prisons.
Yeah, the consistency of the inmate stories, whether they're on the East Coast or the West Coast or in the Charlotte area, they were spot on. They all paid the officers a certain amount to smuggle in the drugs. They all sold the drugs for the same amount. They all hid them in the same places. It was amazing that no matter where they were, no matter if they were in a maximum or minimum security facility, they're all right on target.
What's been the reaction to your reporting? What have state officials said?
The governor did send us a statement on Friday saying he was deeply concerned about the findings of our investigation and saying that he was instructing his new public safety secretary to take a really hard look at these problems and come up with some recommendations for fixing them.
Ames Alexander and Gavin Off of the Charlotte Observer, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.